Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Quotivation Podcast, where we unlock inspiration one quote at a time. And I hope you had an amazing weekend, and I hope you are ready to charge headfirst into your week, ready to win your week. You know, I believe that everyone has a story. I think it's difficult for us to know what another person is going through. Many times we meet people who are actually in the middle of their story. I mean, have you ever tried reading a book by starting in the middle? You're lost. I mean, if you haven't heard the story, or you, like me, if you haven't seen the movie, you have no idea what's going on in the middle of the book. But listen, the same is true for the people that we encounter every single day. Here's an example. There was a 24-year-old boy who was on, and I say boy, a 24-year-old man, who was on a train with his father, who was looking out the window of the train. And he exclaims, "Dad, Dad, look at the trees. They're going by so fast." The father smiled, and a young couple sitting nearby looked at the 24-year-old's childish behavior with pity. When he suddenly exclaimed again, "Dad, Dad, look at the clouds. They're in so many beautiful shapes." The couple couldn't resist and turned to the old man and said, "Why don't you take your son to a good doctor?" The old man smiled and said, "Actually, I did. In fact, we're just coming from the hospital. See, my son was blind from birth, and today is the first time he's had his sight." You see, every single person on this planet has a story. Don't judge people before you truly know them. And take the time to get to know them. Get to know their story. Show interest. Ask. Be curious. Genuinely, authentically curious. The truth might surprise you. And the truth will help you win your week. So what do you say? Let's get started by winning your week right now. And we're going to start this episode off like we do with every episode, and that is with a shot of motivation. This week, our shot of motivation is sponsored by Amy Real from Cross Country Mortgage. Amy is the real deal in all things mortgage. She's been a dear friend for many years. She's a fan of the Quotivation Podcast. So if you're in need of a first or a second mortgage, maybe a mortgage on that investment property, or maybe you're interested in refinancing, give Amy a call today. Her phone number is 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. And you can also email her at amy.real, that's R-E-I-H-L, at ccm.com. Give Amy a call today and tell her you were quotivated to get your mortgage deal done. Because Amy Real is the real deal in all things mortgage. And Amy's NMLS number is 486620. And as always, thank you, Amy. All right, let's get to it. Let's go take a shot of motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
I have certain movies that I just absolutely love. Now, if you were to ask me what's my favorite movie, I don't think I could name just one. I mean, I love all of the Rocky, well, most of the Rocky movies. Shawshank Redemption is right up there. It's one of the best movies I've seen. But I also love movies like Major League and Talladega Nights and Step Brothers, Dumb and Dumber. I love a lot of children's movies like Lion King and Cars, but I also like sci-fi movies like the Back to the Future trilogy. Tombstone is a great Western movie, but if I had to choose the best Western movies, it would have to be Young Guns and Young Guns 2. If you haven't seen these movies, they're about kind of loosely the story of Billy the Kid. And I got to tell you, when I saw these movies growing up, I became a huge fan of Billy the Kid, the legend. Guy was an outlaw. He was a murderer. How could you be a fan of someone like that? Well, the legend was just, it was glorification. And it just appealed to my young teenage mind. And the other night I was rewatching Young Guns 2. And within the movie, there is a section where Billy is talking to his friend, Doc Scurlock. And he was telling Doc, he was trying to convince Doc that there was unfinished business, that they needed to avenge the death of their benefactor, John Tunstall. And the story that he was using to convince Doc of this was a story that actually their benefactor, John Tunstall, had used to motivate them. And so I listened to the story, and I got to tell you, I've heard it 1,000 times, but this time it struck me in a very different way. So here's the story as it was told by Billy the Kid in the movie Young Guns 2. He says this. You remember the stories John used to tell us about the three Chinamen playing Fantan? Well, let me stop right here and explain. So Fantan is a game. It's a game for adults that it's a gambling game, basically. It's like dice. So if there were three men playing Fantan, they were gambling. So he says, you remember the story John used to tell us about the three Chinamen playing Fantan? This guy runs up to him and says, hey, the world's coming to an end. And the first one says, well, I best go to the mission and pray. And the second one says, well, hell, I'm going to go buy me a case of mezcal and 6 whores. And the third one says, well, I shall finish the game. I shall finish the game, Doc. So as we examine these three men in this story that are playing Fantan, I realize that each of them seem to represent a characteristic that can be found in many of us. Now, looking at the first one, upon hearing the fact that the world was coming to an end, he hurries off to the mission to pray. Now, I'm going to make some assumptions here, and I'm going to jump to some conclusions, but he sounds to me like the procrastinator. He knew that at some point in his life, he needed to get right with God, to come to salvation and make peace with his Creator. But up until this point, for whatever reason, he had not made the effort to do so. Maybe he figured, I have plenty of time to get that done. But then out of the blue, suddenly someone comes up and says, hey, the deadline's approaching. And suddenly he's frantic to get the things done he should have been doing all along. Don't be this guy. Don't be the procrastinator. I've been the procrastinator. It never ends well. You never see the deadline coming, and suddenly you've put yourself in a stressful, difficult position, trying to get everything done before the deadline. And guess what? Everything's going to have to come off perfectly. There can't be room for delays or setbacks. And we all know delays and setbacks happen. Ultimately, when you procrastinate, the end product is never as good as it would have been had you been doing the tasks that you should have been doing all along. Don't be the procrastinator. That was the first guy. Now, the second guy is probably worse than the procrastinator. He hears the news that the deadline is coming, that the world is coming to an end. And he knew, there's no way I'm going to be prepared and ready for that. So I'm just going to give up. He's going to go down in a meaningless, selfish blaze of glory. Now, if you're a fan of the movie, you get that joke. If you're not a fan of the movie, go watch the movies and then listen to the music and you'll get that joke. But he's going to go down in a blaze of glory because the deadline is coming and there is absolutely nothing we can do to get the project done. So I'm not even going to try to advance it. I'm not even going to try to move it forward. I'm gonna use up all of my PTO before they fire me. I'm gonna call in sick and enjoy the day and skirt any responsibilities that I might have to my teammates, to the project, or to the task. This is selfish behavior that speaks volumes about your character or lack thereof. So don't be this guy. The third guy is who you want to be. This is exactly who you want to be. He's been doing the things that needed to be done all along, preparing for the day when the project was going to be due or the task needed to be completed or the training needed to be implemented. He is unshaken by the news that the world is coming to an end because he is prepared. He is ready for what comes. So there's no need for him to run off to the mission and pray. He's already done that. There's certainly no desire for him to be selfish and self-serving in the final days because he wasn't prepared. There's no blaze of glory that he's going to have to go down in. This news of the world coming to an end, in fact, doesn't really affect him at all. So he kind of shrugs his shoulders and looks back down to what he was doing and says, well, I'm going to finish what I was doing because I'm ready. I'm prepared. So he shall finish the game. So what about you? Are you prepared? Are you doing the things that you need to do for whatever's coming due in your life? That project you're working on, that task. Maybe it's something in your personal life. The more we can prepare for the unexpected moving of a deadline or the setbacks we face and or the things that come up that are going to impact our ability to get things done, the more we're prepared for that, the better off we'll be. When our colleagues come to us and says, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. What are we going to do? Be prepared so that you can answer them. I shall finish the game. Preparation is a powerful way to win your week. So this week, do the mindless tasks, the seemingly meaningless steps that need to be done to prepare you for whatever it is to come. That's how you win your week. And that's your shot of motivation. I want to thank Amy Real for sponsoring this week's shot of motivation.
This has been a shot of motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Nicole Huckabee is the host and producer of Conversations with Nicole. She is affectionately known as Nikki, and her streaming talk show is the next chapter of her 35 years of experience in local television news. Conversations with Nicole is designed to inform, entertain, and educate. Her guests share their special stories and areas of expertise. She believes her audience always finds something in their story relatable and impactful. And Nicole has received many honors during her time with WBTW in Florence and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, including the South Carolina Broadcasters Association Master's Award. Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Nikki Huckabee. Nikki, how are you?
I am fine, Jody. Thank you so much for having me today. This is quite the honor.
Oh, it's an honor for me. I'm glad you're here, and I'm excited to have this conversation. And so, Nikki, before we get started with your quote, let's dig in a little bit. Tell us who Nikki is. Tell us about your career, a long time at WBTW, just a fantastic career in journalism. Tell us some of the things that is inspiring about what you've done and what you're doing today.
Absolutely. Well, I am now retired, as you mentioned, but my career started actually in 1988 when I graduated from Winthrop College, now Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I worked 1 year for an independent Christian station doing local news as a reporter in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's where I started. Then I moved to WBTW in 1989. And it was truly an honor to work at WBTW. You know, like most young journalists, most young broadcasters, I really did have goals and dreams of going to the big city of New York City. You know, Katie Couric, looked at her, you know, I wanted to be her. But my career started with WBTW, and it just kept evolving in a way that was so positive and so good in Florence and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Southeastern North Carolina. And it was the number one station in the market. I was beside the best co-anchor ever in Bob Joubak, we were one of the longest running anchor teams in the country. 27 years we sat beside each other. And when I retired first, he just retired not too long ago. We broke up the team, so to speak, you know, and Bob and I actually had the same birthday. So we really had a cool little special bond. And a little side story there, when I was in high school, Bob and I found out that Dorman High School, go Cavaliers, in Spartanburg, South Carolina, he was actually doing radio and doing color analysis of my high school football team. Fast forward to college, I did an internship at WSPA where Bob Joubak was a sports reporter, and I met him then. And then fast forward to when 1993 or four, I believe it was, we started co-anchoring together. So all these little ways that we kept weaving into each other's lives, and then we ended up as an anchor team for so long. But you know, I had a really great career, had the opportunity to meet some really high-ranking officials along the way, interview some really cool people. But as Bob and I always said, it was the people that you met every day. It was the stories that you did every day of those in your community that really were the best people to have met and to have interviewed and made the most impact in our lives. But, you know, if you want to ask me some specifics of people I have interviewed along the way, you know, we can talk about those. There were a few.
I'm sure. And I would love to hear those. Not only some of the more well-known interviews that you've done, but also those really, really powerful stories of just local people whose stories deserve to be told. What are some of the ones that really stand out in your mind?
Well, I think when it comes to, you know, celebrities or doing some of the really fun, cool things like that, back in the day when television stations had a big budget and would let you go places, some of them not so much anymore, but that's okay. I had an opportunity to go out to LA and I got to do a whole series on the stars of The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful back in the day. So that was really cool, like at the time, especially The Young and the Restless. And, you know, actually got to be on The Young and the Restless for about a skinny second. They let me be an extra. And this is how far it dates back. I was on a payphone in the background, acting like I was talking to someone. We don't even have payphones anymore, I don't think.
I have not seen a payphone in a long time. And for those younger listeners, yes, a payphone is where you would put a quarter in to call someone. Yes. And to answer your next question, we didn't have cell phones. That's how we called people.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. That the character of Victor, he was quite special and kind of just made me a little bit nervous. And all of a sudden I've Eric, oh gosh, I've drawn a blank. He played Victor on Young and the Rest, Eric something. I've drawn a blank as to his last name right at the moment, but anyway, he's still around and just, was a lot of fun to interview. And he looked at me and he said, "Would you like to come into my dressing room?" And I was like, yeah, and of course I had a photographer with me, you know, sure, and everything. And I was sitting there, and he goes, "You're a very beautiful girl." And I was like, "Thank you." You know? like, what's wrong with me, you know? But those are fun things to do in my career. You know, I'm glad I got to do that. I remember my very first politician that I interviewed was Lieutenant Governor Nick Theodore. Mm. That's dating back again. And you're in the business longer, they become just regular folks and they're in and out so often. But the first time you interview a politician, you're like, wow, this is, you know, you're kind of like, whoa, big deal. But those are just two things I can remember in my career. As far as everyday people, you know, I can't think of really one right off the top. I can tell you a couple of stories though that were impactful and I will always remember. And that was when, first of all, do you remember the Susan Smith case?
I do, yes.
So I can remember being on the set. We were following that story so closely. And there were, it seems like in every instance, even though that was an upstate South Carolina case and we were in the PD and Grand Strand of South Carolina, there was a relative in that area. So we had done some local stories relating to the Susan Smith case. And I can remember being on the set when they found those two little boys and in Union County. And that was just so impactful. And Bob and I were actually new parents at the time. We had just had our first children. We both had boys and just a year apart. And, you know, we were just overwhelmed with grief. And I think that was a life-changing event once I became a parent.
Yeah.
And then you started reporting on things like that. It hit you differently. It was, it was very emotional, very sad. So I can remember that story that we covered and that just great impact. One thing that I will always remember is when the Confederate flag came down at the State House grounds. Mm-hmm. I was the anchor working at the time that they did the ceremony, and I was live on the air for however long. It seemed like a long time, ad-libbing the whole event. We did have like a reporter at the State House, but you know, as the anchor, you bounce back and forth. You have the live picture of everything that's happening. And I can remember just watching Governor Nikki Haley at the time standing up there and Reverend Terry Alexander from Florence County standing beside her and trying to name off the lawmakers that were by her side and what was happening. And watching it all happen, and while it was very controversial, the one thing I would say is that South Carolina didn't have riots. We didn't have issues. We, in my opinion, we were always a people of peace. And even in the midst of differences, we behaved well. Mm-hmm. Those who didn't believe that should be done, there were still no problems. And for those who did, they were still behaving well. And I thought, but that was a historical moment.
Sure. Yeah.
That was history making. And I got to be a part of that, sitting on the anchor desk, you know, telling what was happening. And so that was pretty impactful for me too, to be a part of that and be able to share that with our audience and our viewers in that area of the state.
It's amazing to think about too, just some of the ideas and the events that that we've been through. I think I was in my last episode, I was talking about my son who is now a sophomore at Coastal Carolina down in the WBTW area. I still haven't figured that out, whatever they do. But you know, just talking to him about some of the things that I've lived through, like the Challenger explosion and 9/11, he was born in 2003 and he was talking to me about these events as if they were historical events, which of course they were, but they were in our lifetime.
Right.
Which hits very differently because I can remember talking to my parents about when JFK was shot or, you know, when Elvis Presley was died. You know, those are things that while it was in my lifetime, I don't remember them. I was very young. And so it just, those kind of things just hit differently when it's something that you are experiencing firsthand versus learning a second and third account from it. And so I would imagine that as you've gone through your career, you've seen some of these things. How do you take some of the lessons that you learned and meeting politicians and talking about some of these impactful events, these emotional events, and then apply that to what you're doing today with your podcast, with Conversations with Nicole?
Well, I think that's the beauty of what I did for so long. I enjoy talking to people and hearing their stories. And I wanted to make sure moving forward that I brought the good to the table with my new platform while I reported on a lot of good. Unfortunately, news comes with negativity and sadness and unfortunate circumstances. And that's hard. That's hard for people on a daily basis to handle. I mean, what people don't realize, I think, a lot of times is for people that are in broadcasting, people that are covering news, the trauma that happens, just like oftentimes to law enforcement and first responders, it happens to us too, because we are reporting on it many of us are at the scene at the time, but you're also getting backstories that never make the air. You're hearing the things that aren't even broadcast and absorbing that day after day after day. And sure, it can be heavy on your heart, but it's also an obligation too. Just as the police officer has a desire to serve and show up and protect you, those of us that were in broadcasting and journalism have a desire to show up and bring you the information that you need to know in your community and hold those people in the community accountable. And that's important, but that can be hard sometimes emotionally to deal with. But I feel like all of those experiences, everything that I went through, everything that I've learned from that and absorbed, and how to talk to people, how to be a good listener, how to be compassionate, how to be understanding, how to have empathy for where a person is what I bring to the table now when I'm having my conversations, my casual conversations with people in the community. And I talk to a lot of people that have nonprofits. It's their passion. Their purpose is to help others through their nonprofits. You know, I talk to musicians who have a love for music and they share that love of music with others, but oftentimes they're where they are because of something they've experienced, something they've gone through in their early days, or maybe now. I've actually just interviewed a musician not too long ago out in Austin, Texas. He's battling oral cancer. He's a singer and a songwriter. Imagine his story. I will persevere. Those things give others hope. And that's what I want my message to be from everything that I put out on my streaming platforms now. Something maybe that gives you hope, something that inspires you, something that helps you, maybe a nugget that says, you know, I didn't think I could do that, but I can now because this particular life coach came on and said, you can do it. So that's the experience that I took before that I feel helps me now, because I'm sharing people's stories that I feel certainly someone can find something relatable in it and it can be helpful in their lives.
How much of that is just part of who you are, and how much of that have you had to learn and grow and develop in terms of empathy and some of those soft skills that it takes to really find the hope within sometimes just really difficult stories or situations? How much is that is nature versus nurture?
I would say it's probably a good combination. Maybe you could ask my mother that, but she probably could give you a better idea. Honestly, Jody, I really feel like I had a calling at an early age, and this is a pretty emotional story, and I'll share it with you. My father passed away when I was 18. I'm an only child. And it was my first year at Winthrop College, now Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And he was talking to my grandmother, sitting at the table having lunch, and WSPA was on the television. It was the noontime show. Jane Robillot, whom I've become friends with now after we all won the SCBA Master's Award at the same time. This is totally how God works. Jane was anchoring the news. My father told my grandmother, you know, Nikki would do a really good job anchoring the news and sharing stories because she's just good at that kind of thing, how she speaks with people and her presentation and her heart, that sort of thing. The nature, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know this story until after my father passed years later, when my grandmother finally shared it. I think I had a calling then. I just didn't know it, but my father did. Right. So I would say probably I had it in me all along. And then when I moved into this line of work, it just kept evolving. And honest to goodness, I love people. I love being around people. I love hearing their stories so much. And when you show someone that you care about them, they'll talk to you. Sure. They return that and they welcome you into their home over and over and over again because they know you're legit. You're not a talking head. You're not just the ditzy blonde up there. just gibbering jabbering the words. You genuinely care about them. And that is who I am. And I just think it was just a good combination of both as I grew into this line of work.
What an inspiring story. I would imagine that when you heard that story, particularly after your father had passed, and that you'd really begun going down this path of journalism and your career, I would imagine that was just like a catapult launching you forward.
It was. And I kept thinking all along, you know, my goals and dreams and aspirations were to make it to a bigger market. But nonetheless, I kept thinking, Dad would be proud. Mm. And surely to goodness, he can see some of it, right?
Sure.
But yes, 100%. It was a catalyst to want to always strive to be the best that I could be where I had planted my feet. And that was WBTW. And I continued to be blessed in that season of my life there.
And so it's an interesting conundrum as you talk about the goals that you had to move on to network and to work in the big city and Rockefeller Center and all of that stuff. How impactful or how has the fact that that didn't happen, how has that impacted you? And looking back, would you change any of it?
Wouldn't change a thing. Wouldn't change a thing. You know, there's always that wonder if I could have. The thing is, to make it to that level, you have to move a lot. And there are no guarantees because it's a very cutthroat business. You can get, like, we were number one at WBTW, a great station, great people. I mean, it was just the perfect package. I could have left there, gone to a little bit higher market, and it could have been a disaster. And then who knows what would have happened? You know, you can play the what if game all day long. So looking back now wouldn't change a thing. I raised my kids in great community. They did well. They were my blessings. And I wouldn't trade them, of course, for the world, you know, because had I left, would have not, who knows where, you know, things would have turned out. But no, I just left on top from my career, just doing so well and having so much support and love from the community. You really couldn't have asked for a better situation. So, and God blesses you in other ways too. So
sure. No, without a doubt. And now he has blessed you with Conversations with Nicole, your show that's streaming live. Tell us a little bit about what was it that led you to jump into that, and tell us where we can find it, hear it. I've heard a few episodes. You did a great episode with Bob when he retired. Loved that one. You recently had a coach on there, that a life coach that just, I mean, she was spitting facts. It was fantastic. So tell us a little bit about what led you to Conversations with Nicole, and then where we can hear that.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, first of all, like a lot of people, we started this thing called Zoom during COVID, and I knew that I was approaching retirement. So in 2020, I retired from the anchor desk, and I thought, what do I want to do? Where's my next step? And as I started learning Zoom, I thought, why don't I just start talking to people that I love right now while I'm just before I'm retiring, and we'll just call it Conversations with Nicole. We'll just see how it goes. Well, it started going well. And then, so I just felt like that was my calling, that I did not want to lose that connection with people, even though I was retiring. And I did not want to move into a different news entity, like in any other market, since I moved to Rock Hill, South Carolina, where my husband lives. That's why I got retired. I got married and left the business. So that was a blessing. But, I didn't want to stop talking to people. And so good old COVID and Zoom led me to said, well, I'll figure out this technology. And this old girl has tried to figure it out. And it's been a challenge. But that's really what led me to want to do that. I thought there's always not a voice for everyone out there. And in news, you get a 15 second soundbite, or, you know, if you're lucky, a minute 15 story on someone. And I understand that. I know how the process works, but I thought I can give people more time. And that's what I wanted to do, give a place for people to tell more of their story. So that's really how it evolved. And you can find me on YouTube, Conversations with Nicole. I am on LinkedIn, of course, as Nicole Huckabee, and I share my stories there. Twitter is The Real CWN. You'll find my stories there. And they're on Facebook. And I do, of course, teases on Instagram, and I'm trying to find, as I tell my kids, the tick and the talk is killing me. I don't know what I'm doing there, but I'm trying to put my, you know, my promotional teases on TikTok as well. And so, yeah. And then I also have a pod page. So you can go to my pod page, Conversations with Nicole, where you'll find all of my episodes too. And then I'm on all platforms like Apple, Spotify, all of that, all under Conversations with Nicole Huckabee.
Yeah, that's awesome. And definitely something that you want to add to your playlist. So look for that on your favorite podcast outlet, and definitely add Conversations with Nicole, because they are wonderful conversations, very uplifting and inspiring. All right, Nicole, Nikki.
Yes.
So let's get into this. Let's talk about your quote.
Okay.
I want to hear about this quote. I'm excited to discuss it. Tell everyone what the quote is, who said it, and why it's impactful for you.
Perfect. Try to be a rainbow in someone's cloud by Maya Angelou. I think it's obvious why I like this one. We all need to be the bright spot in someone's day, because we don't know what people are going through. When we go to the grocery store, we're waiting impatiently in the line. The cashier's not moving fast enough. You know, we've got somewhere to be. We could be the rainbow in her cloud that day, because she may be going through something that we don't know about. Kindness, show, you know, empathy, smile at that person. Goodness gracious, people need to be smiling more.
Yes.
That, to me, is the rainbow in someone's cloud. And it is important for us to connect to individuals. I think that's what we are missing in the world today. We're just dismissing people. We're just walking by. We're not smiling. We're not showing kindness, letting people know that each of us matters.
Mm-hmm.
Important. It only takes 2 seconds to smile. How are you? Thank you for your help. Hope you have a great day. Put the shopping cart back, for goodness sake. Do some random act of kindness. Or offer it to someone coming in.
Right.
Those are the things that make a difference in the world. We don't have any idea what someone may be going through. You show that random act of kindness. You be that rainbow in someone's cloud. Their whole day, their whole week, their whole life could be changed from us. So why not? Why not?
And it's so easy, such an easy thing to do, smiling at someone on the street. Yes. I tell people this all the time. If you want to see how impactful kindness can be, smile at someone.
Yes.
And see what they do. 99 times out of 100, they're going to smile back. And you're both going to feel better. Now, you might get that grouchy person that's, wow, what are you looking at? Okay, let that one go and we'll enjoy. Yeah. It's totally okay. We'll enjoy the other 99 people that we run into and smile, and we'll get the smile back. And it's so easy. It doesn't cost us anything. It's not a lot of effort. Just smile. Smile at someone. Make their day.
But you know what? You probably did make that grouchy old person's day. They just wouldn't admit it right then. But you probably did make an impression.
Absolutely.
Give them something to think about. Who knows how their life has been all along that's made them so jaded and so bitter. You could start chipping away at that in someone's life and make a difference.
Absolutely. Everyone has a story, and we don't always know what that story is. And so going into it, assuming the best in people, until they prove you wrong.
Well, that's true. Because right? As Maya Angelou says, when someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them.
That's exactly
that
right.
Doesn't mean you can't be kind. It just means you kind of steer clear, you know. Because
you have to understand all of the information that's available, right? But you can still be a rainbow in their cloud. I love this one. I love this quote, because rainbows are so beautiful, and you know they're God's promise, and
sign of hope.
It's a sign of hope. Oh, we need so many signs of hope these days. I mean, it's and you know, coming from the industry that you were in, it's, as you said, it can be just taxing to hear story after story of bad news after bad news, of tragedy after tragedy. We need that hope in our lives. We need that hope in our community. And, you know, people can think, well, I can't change the world. No, you can't, but you can change someone else. You can change their life. You can have an impact. And that has a ripple effect, and they'll make change, and they'll spread that. And suddenly when you thought just one-on-one individually, suddenly there's this wave of change that begins to occur, and it's done together. And it's so powerful that way. So
and the change is in us. When we change, you have to change first. If you just make that small little change, you'll see how the good things come back to you as well.
Absolutely. And it's a matter of,
if you don't worry about it. Just keep, you know what? Have you ever had the person, you just say, I'm being nice today. I don't care what they say, because I know they're going to be kind of, and you, hey, so-and-so, how you doing? Just keep doing it. Yep. Just keep doing it. No matter how hard it is, you know, because you'll just keep pressing and it'll eventually click with them. And if not, that's okay. You did the right thing. You did what was right.
And it still feels good, even if it's not reciprocated, because it, you know, it just to smile at someone and to be kind and to know that you did these things, it in and of itself is its own reward.
100%.
It'll make you feel good regardless of the reaction you get. So we absolutely should try to be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Nikki, as we think about this in terms of our audience right now, if someone is out there that's just really struggling to find the motivation to move forward, how can they use this to win their week? What would be your advice to someone how they can be the rainbow in someone's cloud, especially in an environment where it's like, I don't like this job. I don't like my boss. I don't like my coworkers. And it's just really hard to be a rainbow in such a cloudy environment. How do they do that?
Well, I think you have to change your mindset. And I think you have to look for the good things that are in your life. We all have ebbs and flows. We're all going to have the bad times, but there are good things in all of our lives. Find that. Hold on to it. Embrace that for your week. Embrace that for your month. Embrace that for your week and your year. And eventually you will turn things around and you'll be able to find more, you know, rainbows among your clouds. I think that's the key. We have to tell ourselves that, because the world is constantly beating you down. Mm-hmm. It's just how it is, because we have to pay the bills. We have to do this. We got the speeding ticket. Someone cut us off at the spotlight, at the stop sign, at the spot, you know, at the light or whatever, or someone was obnoxious. Someone wasn't nice. If you kind of continue to say, okay, I want to be different. Mm-hmm. I want to be different. I want to find the good things. That's how you win your week. That's what sets you apart. And when you are apart from the rest, people want what you have, and you make the difference, and you feel better about yourself.
That's such great advice. One last question for you, Nikki. Who are your rainbows? Who are the people that are rainbows in your life?
My mom is always my rainbow. My mother is always my rainbow. Like I mentioned, my father passed early on. I'm an only child, so she's always been my rainbow. She's very good. You know, she's like, well, you know, it's like the three-legged duck, right? You know, swimming around in circles. Well, at least he's swimming, that kind of thing. But she always has the mentality. She would be, you know, she would be my rainbow. I would say my husband's my rainbow. So, and my children are my rainbows. Yep. Even though, you know, children are a little tougher sometimes, because you're still working to be their rainbows too. Sure. You know, you lift them up. But, you know, I have some friends, my two best friends that live in Spartanburg. They're my rainbows. They're my cheerleaders. So I'm blessed. I have lots of rainbows in my life.
I think a lot of us have lots of rainbows in our lives. And even those people that are sitting there today that are saying, you know, it must be nice, I don't have any rainbows in my life. I bet you do.
You do.
I bet you do. Look around. There are people that care for you. And as hopeless as it may feel, as stuck as you may feel in the muck and the mire, there's always someone there that's going to come along, even if it's just you know, one of those faint little rainbows, a stranger on the street that smiles at you. Everyone has a rainbow in their life. It's just a matter of how we see it, use it, and recognize it to make it powerful, and how we use it in our lives. That's what makes the difference.
I agree. And I would also say my faith has been my rainbow as well. So for those who look to a higher power, I would highly recommend that, because I think that is helps you persevere and help you stay on your path, and to know that you are important. You have a purpose here on this earth, and that for me, my Heavenly Father is looking down upon me and wanting me to do well, and he's my rainbow. So
there's a blessed hope in that. And we all have to tether ourselves to something that is very grounded in as we go through storms. And yes. And that absolutely is a very grounding power to tether yourself to. She is fantastic. She is the host of Conversations with Nicole, and she has been fantastic on the Quotivation Podcast. Nikki, thank you so much for joining us today and being on the show.
Thank you so much. And if any of your listeners want to send me an email, please find me at TheReal, REALCWN at gmail.com. That's The Real Conversations with Nicole at gmail.com. Love to hear from you.
That's fantastic. She is.
Oh, can I say something?
Oh, please go ahead.
You're going to be on my show.
I am. I am so excited to be on Conversations with Nicole.
Yeah. In future episodes, you will also hear Jody from the Quotation Motivation Podcast. So, yes.
I can't wait. It's going to be a great conversation. And this has been a fantastic conversation as well. So we'll just continue that on with Conversations with Nicole. And that'll be coming up soon. And we were just so blessed to have you on today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that was Nicole Huckabee, formerly of WBTW down in Florence and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, longtime journalist, fantastic storyteller, wonderful tidbits and humorous things to share as she went through her career reporting on the news. And as she said, that can be such a daunting task with story after story of bad news after bad news. And somehow she has kept a positive outlook, a positive disposition, and she has moved on to host her podcast, Conversations with Nicole. Check that out on your favorite podcast service. And I look forward to being on that with Nicole as well and continuing our conversation. But hey, before you go check that out, why don't you stick around? Because we have just enough time for a little bit of dessert. Let's have the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
What a wonderful conversation with Nikki, and I thought the quote that she brought was powerful. I loved hearing the stories. My wife is going to love hearing the story of Victor from The Young and the Restless. So suave, such a ladies' man. Can just hear that voice that I've heard in the background as my wife watches intently, following the story of Victor talking with Nicole when she was just starting out in her career. What a fabulous story. But I love the quote that she brought. And I want to focus on the quote from Maya Angelou: "Be the rainbow in someone's cloud." Such a short, simple phrase, but yet so, so powerful. So what does it mean? What does it mean to be the rainbow in someone's cloud? Well, when we think about when rainbows appear, they appear after a storm. They bring color and beauty to the sky. Storms come and they're gray, and the clouds are gray, and the rain is dreary. The lightning can startle you and scare you. The thunder is loud and boisterous. It feels chaotic. But the rainbow appears, and somehow it brings hope. comfort, support. And that's what it means to be a rainbow in someone's cloud, to be there as they're going through challenges and struggles. It's about expressing compassion, sharing uplifting energy to those around you, helping to alleviate the burdens and brighten their day. So how do you be a rainbow for someone? Well, I think it really starts with empathy. Listening to them with empathy. And I don't think everyone really understands empathy, what it really means. A lot of times people will confuse empathy and sympathy. Sympathy just doesn't go far enough. It's great to be sympathetic. And being sympathetic really just means that you recognize and understand someone's feelings, how they feel. But being empathetic, you put yourself in someone else's position so that you feel what they feel, so that you see from their perspective. So as people share their troubles and their trials, the things that they're going through, if you truly want to be a rainbow in someone's cloud, then you listen with an empathetic ear, offering your support. Sometimes people just want to be heard. Sometimes people just need to unburden themselves with what's bothering them. They don't need advice. They don't need judgment. They just need someone to listen. So lend an empathetic ear. Understand where they're coming from. Put yourself in their shoes so that you can feel what they feel. Offer encouragement. Provide words of encouragement and support. Let them know that you believe in them and that they have the strength to overcome any challenge that they're facing. Sometimes you may need to provide practical help. You know, if someone's going through a tough time with a family member who's sick or they're sick themselves, maybe it will just help for someone to, hey, can I run to the grocery store for you? Do you need something? Can I keep your kids for you for a few hours so that you can get some rest? Can I help you around the house? Can I do some chores? Offer some practical help as well. I think the biggest thing we can do to brighten anyone's day, to lift anyone out of any hole that they've dug themselves into, is to truly express gratitude. Gratitude for their presence in your life. People want to be appreciated. People want to know that they've made a difference in the lives of those around them. And sometimes that's hard to see, especially when the gray, stormy clouds are around. So shine those colors of the rainbow brightly. Tell them that you're grateful just for their presence in your life. Let them know how much they mean to you and how grateful you are to have them. That's what I think it means to be the rainbow in someone's cloud. And I think Nikki brought a fantastic quote from Maya Angelou. One that's going to help us win our week. So if you want to win your week this week, go be a rainbow. Shine brightly. Brighten someone's day. Tell them that you're thankful that they're there in your life, that they are there for you. And you are so ecstatic to have the opportunity to be there for them. I hope you can go and be someone's rainbow in their clouds this week, and that helps you win your week. That's all the time we have for the Quotivation Podcast. I want to thank Amy Real for sponsoring our Shot of Motivation. I want to thank Nicole Huckabee for being our special guest this week and that powerful quote that she brought to us along with her wonderful stories. But most of all, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for being on this journey with us. And I hope you have found something in this episode that's going to help you win your week. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.